Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how was that Super Bowl last night?
Life is meaningless. Yeah. Who cares? I mean, I it was depressing.
Yeah.
That was what would you do if you were a Falcons fan today?
So, you know, as you know, I don't know if we've ever discussed it on the podcast, really, but I ranked all the cursed franchises a few months ago. I did it in November. I did it right after the World Series ended. And at the time, I had the Falcons number 20. And, you know, what I said about them then is the reason I had them higher than the Titans and the Cardinals is because they'd been in the same city for 50 years. But I said, like those teams, they've essentially been irrelevant other than a single Super Bowl that they were expected to lose and did lose. In a season in which they really weren't that great anyways. So this is really the first really massive heartbreaking loss they've ever had. On the other hand, it doesn't get much, you know, more heartbreaking, obviously, than blowing a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
I don't know why we need a preamble to this answer. Like, forgetting about franchise...
No, but that's what matters, because what would you do if you're a Falcons fan? Well, if you're a Vikings fan or a Bills fan...
Irrelevant.
Right, well, then
this game transcends, like, losing different Super Bowls and things like that. Like, first of all,
but what I'm saying is it's a one-off, and also like this season was a little bit found money for the Falcons. The Falcons did not come into the season with big expectations.
Oh my God! Could you imagine one Falcon saying that today? One Falcon fan.
Oh, I know, but of course they're not saying that. But I'm trying to, you know, help them see the bigger picture here. This was a season in which you would have been happy making the playoffs. All of a sudden, you made the Super Bowl and were winning 28-3. Should you have taken it home? Should you have sealed the deal? Did you have a 99% win probability or even higher? Yes, yes to all of that. Is it a heartbreaking loss? Yes. But it's a little bit different than a team, you know, first of all, that has had a history of this, a team that's been so close so many times, or a team that, you know, this year was the year and everything was built on this year and they were supposed to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, why can't the Falcons repeat it next year? There's no reason. I'm not saying they're going to. We saw what happened to Carolina this season after last season. But I'm just saying, like, it's not like this was, like, the big year for the Falcons and now they're screwed. Their whole team is still around. They're not particularly old.
Listen, we could have easily said that about the Panthers last year. I mean, the Panthers...
Oh, I agree. And again, I'm not saying they're going to make it back.
It is so hard to get back. I mean, there's 16 teams, and yeah, there's always a few irrelevant teams, but, like, there are, you know, to get, like, you know, to like, just to guarantee, like, oh, we're going to be better than Dallas next year. You know, we're going to be better than, you know, the Packers again. Like, it's just so hard. The Seahawks are going to rebuild. You know, they could miss the playoffs next year. I don't think they will.
Yeah, well,
but,
hold on.
You know, Jameis Winston could make a leap, and he could become – that could be the best team in that
division. Never too soon. Let's look. I'm at Bovada. Here are the Super Bowl future odds.
I mean, yeah.
All right, Patriots are plus 475. They're the favorite, okay, which is weird because they're the favorite with a new quarterback because, according to you, Tom Brady has played his last game in a Patriots uniform, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you stepping off of that hot take?
No, I think, I mean, of course, there's a slight chance he retires. First of all, I think Belichick, there's a chance he moves to, like, front office management. It may not be after, but it probably, if it's not right now, it's very soon. That, it, you know, he becomes the GM or the president or something.
I will say with certainty that Bill Belichick will be the coach and Tom Brady will be the quarterback of the New England Patriots week one next.
How about this? It would be nuts to trade Garoppolo unless you think he stinks because there's no value you could get. I mean, unless someone offers you like 3 first round picks or something, there's no value that could be, you know, if you think Garoppolo is your quarterback for the next 10 years, you have to keep him. Do you agree with that?
Can I mention some names to you?
Yeah.
Like Brock Osweiler or Scott Mitchell or Matt Castle. I mean, there's a long record of guys filling in, guys we didn't really know a lot about filling in.
Okay, did you hear what I said? If you think he's good, you keep him. You've seen him for years. If you know he stinks, then of course get rid of him. You're going to get a great pick for him.
Well, you know, this is the interesting thing. So let's go back. Again, let's try and actually put ourselves where we were in the position when it was actually happening and not just after the fact. Like, in the middle of this game, people were really talking about, you know, after Brady threw the pick six, and he was just floating passes left and right. He was missing everywhere. He looked like, you know, Peyton Manning in his last season. And this is what I've been making the point. I've made this point for a couple of years. When a superstar quarterback loses it, it goes instantly, right?
Yes.
Brett Favre in 2009 was basically an MVP for the Vikings. 2010, at 41 years old, he was out of the NFL. Peyton Manning was basically an MVP for the Patriots, for the Broncos in 2014. 2015, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL. And it literally goes instantly at that age. And Tom Brady's 39 years old. He's going to be 40. And so I understand what you're saying in the sense that at halftime of that game, people really thought, boy, Tom Brady's finished. He might never play again. He might come back next year and be a shell of himself the way that, you know, that way that that Peyton Manning was, or that Brett Favre was, or that a whole host of, you know, aging quarterbacks, Dan Marino was. But then, of course, in the second half, or specifically in, you know, the fourth quarter and overtime, he basically played perfectly, other than one or two plays where he got a little bit of luck, you know, like the Edelman pass, obviously, which could have been picked off pretty easily. But Brady essentially played perfect football. So on the one hand, do you want to rely on that and say, look, this is a guy who said he's going to play till he's 45. Nobody's ever done it in history, but nobody's ever done what we just saw. And Garoppolo can fetch you a first-round pick or two. And even if the Patriots think he's good, they don't know for sure that he's good, right? I mean, Bill Belichick makes mistakes also.
Mm-hmm.
So, or do you want to say, no, well, let's not be so foolish. Let's remember how we felt just an hour earlier in that very game when we thought that we were going to need Garoppolo next season. So, you know, I could see it either way. But how much would you pay? I mean, would they – I don't even know how his contract works. Would they have to franchise him as a backup?
I'm not sure. I'm still over your, like – not over your horrible answer for, like, what would you if you're a Falcons fan? Like, if you had said, like, kill myself, I would have said that's an appropriate response. Like,
no, it's not, because – I'm sorry. The Falcons are not a franchise. Like, no, no.
It's if you're a Viking, when you're up 28-3, you don't have to worry about Chester's sad city – you know, rankings. If you're up 28-3 in the Super Bowl and you lost, who cares what happened in 1976?
The Cleveland Indians were up 3-1 in the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Indians fans should have jumped off bridges. Like, you're being ridiculous.
Well, no, I'm saying the Indians fans have a much more reason to do so than the Falcons.
Yeah, but they should be holding hands and doing it together.
Here's the caveat. Indians fans, 98% of them are also Cavs fans, and so had just appreciated
okay,
the title.
Fair.
If the Cleveland Cavaliers had not won the title, if LeBron James had lost in the
game
finals
seven,
last
yeah.
year.
Kyrie misses that shot.
Yeah. Indians fans could have and should have killed themselves.
Right. Although, I will say.
For the record, this podcast does not support suicide.
No, not literally. Not literal suicide.
But yeah, metaphorically, they should have killed themselves. Sure. But you're acknowledging that they felt a little bit better because their other team had just won a championship. Right? You're acknowledging that.
Yes. Although in hindsight, it was the worst thing that ever happened to them because maybe, you know, Durant doesn't sign and they have a chance to win for the next 5 years instead of zero.
The flags fly forever. They still take the one that they get.
Okay. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I think that's a good point.
LeBron is really acting like the flag is flying forever, throwing a temper tantrum every 5 days.
Well, I mean, because LeBron is not playing for, you know, winning a game here or there. LeBron is playing against Michael Jordan in history. Right. LeBron has one goal, which is to be the greatest player of all time.
Sure, yeah, yeah. At this point, he's only playing against history. Yeah,
yeah. But people in Cleveland are playing. You know, for they just wanted a championship. But back to Atlanta, I understand how heartbreaking it is. I'm just saying that it's not like this had been a heartbreak that had been building up and up and up for years and years, or even for the whole season. This is found money. 2 weeks ago, the Falcons were sort of happy to be in the playoffs and said, "Who knows what can happen?" It wasn't really until they beat that Packers team that all of a sudden, like, "Holy crap, we can win the Super Bowl!" Right. It's the same reason that Arizona Diamondbacks fans or Florida Marlins fans, when they won the World Series, even when when they beat the Yankees, it's like, okay, but you are like fake fans who didn't exist 10 years ago. So, you know, I'm sorry. You have to have a built-up callus of suffering for years, I think. That's just how I interpret it. If there was an expansion franchise next year, the Las Vegas, whatever the hell they're going to be called, right? The Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to the Stanley Cup Finals in their rookie season – and they're winning the Stanley Cup Finals 3-0, and they lose game 4, game 5, game 6, and then they're winning game 7, 6-0 in the third period, and they give up 7 goals to lose in the third period, the greatest collapse of all time. Should they all go, all the Golden Knights fans should go kill themselves? No, you acknowledge that their history has an impact there, right?
Yes.
So the Falcons fans are more real than the Golden Knights fans, obviously, but they're not the same as Indians fans or Vikings fans or Cleveland Browns fans or Buffalo Bills fans. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Sorry, Falcons fans. I'm not giving you a. I do feel bad for Falcons fans. I really do, but I'm a Vikings fan, so I've seen it all before.
First of all, next year Super Bowl in Minneapolis. Should we go?
Okay, so let's talk about the Super Bowl odds. So the Patriots are the favorites at +475. The Cowboys are second at +900. Do you want to guess who's after that? After the Cowboys, who's third at 10-1?
I mean, I wasn't listening to you. You already said the Falcons odds, and it's not them, right?
No, I didn't say the Falcons. No, the Cowboys are 9-1. They're second. The Packers.
So I'm
going to
say the Falcons and the Packers are probably the same.
Okay. So Packers are 10-1. Steelers are 10-1.
Wow.
And then the Falcons are fifth at 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to guess who's next at 16-1? And this is where it gets a little crazy. There's four teams.
Okay, so
the Broncos.
Wait, look, you just said you want to guess, and then you didn't let me guess.
Oh, sorry. Go
The Raiders?
The Raiders, yeah. Broncos, Seahawks, Raiders, and who's the fourth one?
Okay. The Giants.
The Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, Teddy's out for the year.
Yeah, and
how much does it suck that it's like the first of all, today's the worst day of the year, right? The longest amount of time we have, you know, before football season.
Yeah.
And your freaking quarterback is out for the season already.
Yeah, he is.
It's pretty
But that's why I don't understand why the Vikings. And after that's a huge drop. Next is 25-1. You have like the Panthers and the Chiefs and the Giants.
I mean, the Vikings should be favored to make the playoffs. You know, they had historically bad injury luck, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing they showed that should make them a Super Bowl team. Like, is Sam Bradford winning the Super Bowl next year?
Look, I've been on record as saying Sam Bradford is much better than I thought, and you could win a Super Bowl with Sam Bradford the same way you can win one with Eli or
the best defense in the NFL, and you had Adrian Peterson in 2008.
Well, okay, so their defense has to be back to what it is. The problem with this team is not Sam Bradford. The problem with this team is their offensive line, and I don't know how they're going to solve that. They had the most expensive offensive line in the league this year, and they had like the second to worst offensive line in the league this year, ahead of only Seattle. So I don't see how they improve the offensive line enough to merit 16-1, you know, the fifth highest odds to win the Super Bowl, let alone, you know, the cursed history of the franchise and all that bullshit. Is this boosted slightly because the game's in Minnesota? No, because no home team has ever even made a Super Bowl.
Right.
So it can't be. So I don't understand what that's about. Terrible odds. Do not bet on the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. Please, save your money. The Jets, by the way, 75-1.
Yeah, who has the highest odds? The Jaguars?
No, the 49ers and the Browns.
I mean, I don't know. The Jets are going to be the worst team in the league next year, I think.
I mean, San Francisco, the one, you know, we haven't really talked about yet. So that John Lynch hiring, and for 6 years, I mean, that's just an insane thing to do on every level.
Well, the thing is, GMs make less than coaches, so it's not probably not as big of a money commitment as like.
But they give him an unprecedented length of his contract, a guy who has no track record, no history, no experience. They weren't even looking for him when they were looking for the job. He contacted the team.
No way.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
He contacted the team.
John Lynch contacted Jed York when they had their final.
Well, in fairness, it's a little different because, like, they wouldn't have even. I guess they knew he would have taken it, but, like, they wouldn't have known he was necessarily in the market. But that's embarrassing. The only other person I can think of who, like, lobbied for an NFL job and got one was Mike Lombardi.
And how did that work out?
Yeah.
Ruining
I'm not saying
today's
John Lynch
podcast.
Did a bad job. We're saying we have no idea. He has no experience. You know?
By the way, did you know, did you listen to the Bill Simmons podcast yet?
Last night, yeah.
He said, like, I know that, like, because my family was sitting in, like, the same seats, I know that karma, like, I do really believe it helped a little bit. Like, me and all the other Patriots fans doing that. Did you hear that?
No, I missed that part.
Yeah, that's what he's like. Yeah, you know, it's like the karma of us sitting in the right spot really helped. And, like, you know, and he was being unironic. And it's like, what were the Falcons doing? Like, their fans were watching the game, but they kept moving around. They were playing musical chairs, and that's why they lost.
Well, it's like, I think 25% of people said that God decides based on the players who's going to win the game. So, yeah, so God decided that the Falcons are sinners.
It's absurd because why would God pick the Patriots?
I mean, why did God give Job so many sufferings? I think God is testing the rest of us, really.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's probably what it's about. Yeah, so it's a dark day. So where did you watch the Super Bowl? You watched it with your friends and your
building? At my friend Morty's house.
Yeah, Morty. The dentist?
No, Morty's not a dentist.
Oh, but he sells dental equipment or something?
Yeah, he says
he's in the dental game.
No, you're right. Yeah. He sells dental equipment. That's true.
Yeah, he's in the dentist game. All right, so you have Morty's. Were there any Patriots fans there?
Well, no, but there's some guys who love Robert Kraft. There are a couple guys who are, like, tight with Robert Kraft.
Okay.
And
like, they actually know him, or they just like him?
I mean, they've met him. The one of them, I think, Kraft has given him like Super Bowl tickets before. Like,
oh, okay, fine. So they actually know.
They have they have a strong connection to Kraft. They're not like close friends.
Okay, so you're hanging out with high
rollers. They're not Patriots fans, but they.
How can you not be a Patriots fan if Robert Kraft is?
Well, if you were a Giants fan your whole life, like you could, you're a Giants fan who also likes the Patriots a little bit.
Oh, so how
like
are these
if you like the Rams, if you bought the Rams. I wouldn't become a Rams fan. I would actually actively root against the Rams. It would be great.
Well, that goes without saying, yeah.
But anyway, so they were rooting for the Patriots.
I think you'd kiss up to me and root for the Rams.
Oh, no. I wouldn't root. Like, I would still root for the Jets. Yeah. Well, that's also, like, an interesting sign of fandom. Like, I had a friend who worked for the Mets, and he said that, and he was a lifelong Mets fan, and he said, like, if the Yankees offered me, like, one more dollar, I would switch and become, you know, work for the Yankees, and I'd be a Yankee fan. And yeah. I'm sure, like, someone like Harold would at least say that, you know, even if the Yankees offered him $5 million, he would not accept, like, the deal, or if he did, he would do it just to sabotage the franchise. Where do you stand on that? Like, if the Kansas City Royals offered you, like, the GM job, could you do it with you're in the same division as the Twins?
So it's one of the conveniences of the fact that most professional athletes are not really big fans of the game growing up or of teams.
Right, like, when somebody says, like, oh, I grew up and I was a big fan of, like, the Jets, like, no, if you were a really big fan, you wouldn't play against the Jets. Like, if I was the best player on the Jaguars, I'd have to sit out against the Jets.
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, you know, I was thinking, like, what would I do if a team other than the Timberwolves drafted me? It'd be a problem.
Wouldn't that be the greatest story in sports if a guy was like, and you'd have to be really good for anyone to care, but if you're like, listen, it has nothing to do with how good the teams are. It's like, I'm a Timberwolves man through and through, and I'm not playing for any team. Don't draft me, or at least, like, nobody in the West draft me. And there is a thing in English soccer or in European soccer where with loans, so it's not like a full buy, but, like, you know, I'm Arsenal and I'm loaning you to Swansea, right? Yeah. But the two times a year you play us, you're not allowed to play.
Yeah.
So that is, like, a concept in European sports, not in American sports. But that would be really funny. I mean, I don't think, like, the league would allow it or the players' union or whatever. But, yeah, I would never play against the Jets. And if I did, I would, like, you know, hand them the ball and let them score touchdowns. But also, I'm a big talker, maybe. But, like, but what does that mean? Because let's say that's my only job. Like, do I care about the Jets more than I care about feeding my family? I mean, probably, but I'd like it to at least, like, find out.
No, I think that, if practically speaking, if you got a job offer with the Giants, you would take it in a second.
The New York Giants?
Or with the Patriots.
Well, they're two different things. Like, different division or, you know, just different conferences.
All right, whoever you hate the most. You would take a job with the Patriots in a second.
I don't think so.
You would try to control the Jets as much as you could.
I don't think so.
If nothing else, you would justify it by saying, if I do a really great job, I'll get a promotion, and eventually I'll get to go work for the Jets.
I guess that's like if you're playing the long game. Right, I guess like the Jets are so hopeless, maybe if we really bury them. But the Patriots have already done that.
Yeah. So obviously, I don't even know how we got on this tangent, but the Patriots. Oh, so yeah, because you were watching with fans of Robert Kraft, who then therefore rooting for the Patriots. My question is, did they leave early? Because all the Patriots fans at my party left early. Donald Trump left his own Super Bowl party early.
Right.
Marky Mark left the stadium early.
Well, Mark, in his defense, I think he claims his son was sick, so you got to give him the credit there.
Oh, so he has to lie about his son?
I know, that is cheap if that's what he did. If I was there. Yeah. You pull like a him 9/11 type thing. If I was in that state, my son wouldn't have been sick. I think one of those guys left. One of the two guys did leave, but it's different. We were watching it like 1 a.m.
So you did have a Patriots fan who stayed till the end.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, it's the Super Bowl. If you leave in the middle of the Super Bowl, like, you're a clown.
But that's what I'm saying. Every Patriots fan at my party left at halftime, and every Patriots fan.
But they're old men, right?
No, they're not old men. They're our age.
Oh, I thought you were watching with your father-in-law.
No, I went to a different party.
Are you eating while we're on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to mute it. I'm going to mute my line. Don't worry.
No, just don't eat.
Eris, you want some cake?
Eris.
You want some cherry cake? Okay, that's what I call blitzes. Okay, I'm going to give you some cherry cake. Go sit down. I'm going to bring it to you.
What's cherry cake?
B-L-I-N-T-Z-E-S.
That's not even a thing.
They're B-L-I-N-T-Z-E-S. Okay.
Oh. Why do you lie to your kids?
I'm not. I'm calling it.
By the way, Chester said unironically, people really liked when I was like mocking your parenting last week. But like, you said unironically off the podcast to me that you're like, what'd you say? You're better at being a dad than anybody is at anything or something like that?
No, I didn't say that. No, I'm better at being a dad.
Something along those lines.
Hold on. What? They're cake and blintzes.
Don't listen to him. They're blintzes.
That's the cake that we have. Do you want it or no? Because I was eating it. If you don't want it, I'll happily finish it.
Why? You said it was supposed to be plain cake.
I didn't say it's. This is the case.
Harris, come listen to me. I got to tell you a couple things.
I got headphones on. He can't hear your lies. No. I have Blintz cake. Do you want it or no? If you don't want it, I'll eat it. Okay, so you don't want it, so I'll eat it. Oh, you do want it. Oh, okay. All right, you want it. Good. Okay. No, I think what I said, first of all, you're getting me in so much trouble. That tweet that you tweeted out, my wife did not appreciate that. But
what did I tweet?
You made reference to what you just said.
What did I say?
Well, me, that I was ranking my fathering skills ahead of her mothering skills.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said that on Twitter.
But why, your wife's not on Twitter.
No, you said that.
Yeah, but how does she know that?
Oh, because I told her.
Well, what are you telling on yourself for?
Well, that's a separate story. Actually, my wife and I, truth be told, are in a fight right now. And
what are you guys in a fight about?
I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but it's so absurd because the one thing you can say about me as a husband, and you can say I have many faults and I'm very aware of all of them, mm-hmm. Or most of them, but I am honest to an extreme fault. I tell my wife everything, even things that there's no reason to tell her, that she wouldn't care about or be hurt if she didn't know, and by telling her, all it does is upset her and get her mad at me. But I tell her anyways, because I've always thought that at least the one thing I'll have, and she can know I'll have, is that I'm honest to an extreme
fault. It sounds like you're setting her up for like a really big lie, and I like it.
Well, so today she accused me of not being honest with her about something, which is so absurd because saying I'm dishonest to her is like saying that I don't make enough sports charts. Like, it's just, it's an absurd claim. Say that I'm argumentative, say that I'm condescending, say that I'm judgmental, say that I'm, say a million things, but you cannot say that I'm a lie.
I like that you know some of your own flaws.
Yeah, but anyways, why you don't want to finish your Blintz cake?
Wait, so you're mad at her?
No, she's mad at me.
Oh, okay.
Because she claims that I wasn't honest with her about something, which is insane because I was, and she misinterpreted what happened, obviously. But she won't believe me.
No, she should definitely believe you. You're a robot. You probably just didn't say it with the right inflection.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to play her this. Don't worry. Akiva's on my side. And Akiva's never on my side. So if you're on my
side... It's true. No, I was expecting... But also, don't... But you also have an obligation to me. You can't just, whose team are you on here? Mine or hers? You can't... If I tweet something that I know she wouldn't want to see, why is she... Why is this getting back to her?
I didn't say Akiva.
Who is your loyalty with, Akiva or your wife?
Well, no. So what actually happened is I showed her the picture of World's Greatest Dad with my face photoshopped over Izzy Mandelbaum.
Okay. And then she said, yeah, I could see how she wouldn't like that.
You know how Drew Maggery and others, no, you cannot eat your cake on the couch. You have to eat your cake at the table. Okay, so sit at the table and I'll bring you something to put on your legs, okay?
Man, this era is really messing up our podcast buzz here.
I know, it's really annoying. I'll bring you a towel. You can.
I know your wife isn't working because you're in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, why isn't she watching the kids? It's the day after the Super Bowl.
She took the other ones to the mall, and I was thinking.
Two out of three? That's useless. You may as well take zero and go yourself.
Okay, you choose to do that. So I'm very anti-poop humor. I'm just not into the conversation of poop. I skip Drew Maggery when he does great moments of poop history. Mm-hmm. I skip all that.
Okay.
I don't know. What's your take on poop humor?
Nah, I don't love it. I usually skip those. They're a little too gross for me usually.
Yeah, so I'm very anti-poop. That having been said, I'm going to bring one up. So you know how Drew Maggery and others who like poop, they talk about when you have gone to the bathroom such that it's such a perfect, a perfect hitter or whatever they call it, perfect game that you don't even need to wipe at all.
Okay, sure.
Are you familiar with, there's a term for that. I don't know.
With the concept.
Yeah. So that's what a podcast is that I don't have to edit at all. It's a perfect podcast. I just upload it right away. And I thought we had one of those until Aira showed up to cause all these distractions.
You thought this was a perfect podcast. First of all, you don't have to edit any of this.
Not that the content was perfect, but I'm just saying I didn't have to do any edits because there were no big gaps or you know.
You don't have to edit any of this. It's all fine.
I should throw this all up with all the distractions
of
Aira and stuff.
Yeah. It's great. People like when your kids come in and ruin the podcast. It's only the day after the Super Bowl. We're only not talking about the NFL again for 6 months.
Yeah. People have been asking me a lot over the last few weeks about my quarterback rankings, and I keep saying I'm not sharing them until we do it on the podcast.
Who's been asking? Don't ask him. Don't ask him for more rankings. It's like calling up an alcoholic and being like, hey, what are your beer rankings? Where's Coors Light? Don't bother Chester about his rankings.
It's not a terrible analogy, actually. But people don't care about my long-term health, I guess. They just want what benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
If the alcoholic has good beer, you're going to call him up and ask him.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, because everybody has decided universally that this game proves that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. And I will say, if you want to parse it into regular season and postseason, that's fine. But based on the regular season, he's not the best quarterback of all time. Based on the regular season, he has to get another 10,000 yards, another 80 touchdowns, another 6 All-Pros, another 3 MVPs if he wants to catch up to Peyton Manning.
Okay, but so in general, the NFL puts an outsized amount of weight in when judging players on postseason performance. I mean, there's no way you could make any case for a Terrell Davis making the Hall of Fame, which he did this weekend, without his 7 great postseason games, right?
Yeah, yep. But Tom Brady's not the greatest postseason quarterback of all time either. I mean, we did those rankings a couple weeks ago, but Joe Montana's ahead of him, right?
Right, but Brady is so much better than Montana in the regular season. So if Brady's number two in the playoffs.
So in my all-time rankings, I have Peyton 1, Brady 2, Montana 3. So I wouldn't say that Brady is so much better than Montana in the regular season. Montana was actually better than Peyton and Brady, I would say. It's just that his career wasn't as long, right? He only played 12 seasons, really. Whereas the other guys, you know, Peyton put up 17, and Brady's at 15 right now. So if Brady puts up another 2 seasons like the one he just had, then I think that he can go
over. Can I ask you a serious question? But, yeah. And it's a better question for me probably, but you don't think it's smart things to ask me like this. Who would you rather retire today, Tom Brady or Donald Trump?
Oh, Donald Trump, obviously.
Yeah, but like Brady has Garoppolo, who might be good, who might suck. Like Pence, you're probably going to hate.
Yeah, but Pence is a regular standard Republican, and he will do all the dangerous thing that regular standard Republicans do if you are not a conservative Republican, you know, especially on social issues and economic issues. But he doesn't threaten the integrity of American democracy.
I mean, he might. People say he's dumb.
There's no reason to think that, okay? Again, he might do horrible things. He introduced that law in Indiana, right, where, you know, the anti-LGBT law, which apparently there was an executive order that he introduced that he asked Trump to sign that apparently Jared and Ivanka sort of put their foot down. It's the first thing they've actually done in the White House to curtail sort of some of the worst instincts of the administration so far, according to reports. But Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, like my wife said during the Republican primary, she said, oh, I'd much rather Trump win than Ted Cruz. Because she's like, because Ted Cruz is like super right wing and seems like an asshole. And Trump, you know, whatever. He's, you know, he was a Democrat 2 years ago and he doesn't really have any ideology. Like, no, like there's some things that are more important than politics, such as the fate of our republic. So, and by the way, this is a good segue. We should mention last year in March, we introduced our own March Madness bracket. It was the 68 greatest living Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up crowning a champion, Bill Gates, the greatest living American.
Yeah. Yeah. What's Bill Gates done for us recently?
Yeah, and I'm not saying, by the way, we're not necessarily saying that Bill Gates is the greatest living American, just like we're not saying that Villanova was necessarily the greatest college team last year. Just that in the way the tournament fell out.
Yes, he won the bracket. That's true.
He won the bracket. He had 6 matchups and he won them. So I have said to you that I wanted to do worst living Americans, and you said, no, it's going to be stupid. Trump's going to win the whole thing. What's the point? But I think we are going to do that, right? We're going to do that this March.
I think so. If people say, really, I'm not interested, don't do it. My problem with it is that I feel like there's so much negativity surrounding things that maybe this is too like negative and too much of a downer, and that people, you know, I'm being serious, and like maybe we should be doing...
People come to the podcast for uplift?
They want to be uplifted by our fights, and they want sports lists or pop culture, and this is too much politics.
When we say worst living Americans, we're not including like Charles Manson and Jerry Sandusky.
Right, we made a preliminary list, and one of the rules we made was nobody who's in jail.
Yeah, no convicted murderers, rapists,
or anybody who like might be going to jail for, like Bill Cosby, not eligible.
Oh, is that why you crossed him off the list?
Yeah, I crossed it because even though he's not in jail, that's more of like a statute of limitations thing. Like, you cannot have committed a physical crime, and you can't be in jail.
Well, Bill Cosby allegedly, we don't know. No court of law is convicted.
Well, you can't be accused of it. But then why is he a bad person if not for that?
Well, Donald Trump, forget about accused. Donald Trump bragged about committing the same crime that Cosby's been accused of. So if
maybe he's not eligible. Right? Can you imagine if he's not even eligible for a bad? Like he's so bad, he's not even eligible.
I mean, he probably shouldn't be eligible for the White House, but he, you know, frankly, I'm looking at this list. Floyd Mayweather. We got a bunch of people who have committed that same crime. So we can't if we exclude anybody who's ever been accused of sexual assault. All right, so maybe this is getting too dark. I don't know.
We'll have we're already like having a sexual assault conversation 30 seconds into this tournament. It might not be fun.
Yeah. I'm looking at some other people. Like we said, no convicted murderers, but Don King did murder somebody in Cleveland in like 1970.
Well, there's a difference between murder and kill.
All right. Well, he went to jail for like a year, didn't he?
Yeah, but he served his time. I feel like a year is enough. He probably – it's like a timeout. He thought about what he did, and now he's out, and he could do whatever he wants.
So I think we have to wait until OJ gets paroled to do this because you're a big fan of OJ, right?
Right. Would OJ be eligible if he gets out of jail? That would be interesting. I'm not sure the time is right for this draft, but it is a fun thing to consider.
Yeah, no convicted murderers.
But anyway, if for the schedule, next week we're doing we're ranking sports cities. And in 2 weeks, we're doing our big, like, all movies of the year. I don't know if you're doing any prep. Probably not, because you just show up and wing it and don't respect the fans. But yeah. I've been watching, pounding the 2016 movies, because we're going to have Av Sinensky on. Av watched, I think, about 150 movies in 2016, and he ranked them all. Yeah. It's really an incredible list. And so I'm trying to get through anything that – my rule is I'll only watch movies that are – like, I don't watch action movies. I don't watch – like mediocre comedies. I don't watch sequels. I only watch things that, like, in theory could be in my top 10 movies of the year. So if I hear bad things about a movie, I will not watch it, or I'll like wait and ask a few more people like a few weeks later to see if they've seen it. So, but I'm really going through all the good movies, and I will be prepared for that podcast. I know you will not. You haven't seen anything, right?
You're on Amir's list, right?
No, I'm not on Amir's list.
Oh, so Amir sent an email similar to
I don't know if like what Amir's list is. I got an email from Amir.
So I've been going back and forth with him, and I have a list of the movies of 2016 that I have not yet seen, that I have on my list that I want to see, that I feel like I need to see.
Okay.
So why don't I read these to you, and you tell me which ones you think are most important that I see.
Okay, sure. Okay, let's do this. Right, again, yesterday was the Super Bowl. Let's talk about movies. Okay.
Okay. The first one is Grimsby, or the Brothers Grimsby.
No.
My attitude for
skip.
The I'm a Sacha
skip,
Baron.
Skip,
I'm a Sacha Baron Cohen completist.
Skip. Okay. And that's not going to be in your top 10. Are you going to make a top 10 movies of the year, or are you not going to have seen enough to make your own list in 2 weeks?
If I have seen enough, I will. I haven't yet seen.
Can you stop eating? It's very disrespectful to the fan who's still listening.
No, I'm going to edit it out.
No, don't edit it out. Just stop eating. It's distracting to me.
Yeah, the only person it's disrespectful to is to you.
All right. And by the way, I haven't had dinner yet, and it's like 10 o'clock at night here. And I waited so I could. You're on your dumb vacation, and I could podcast at your convenience.
All right, you're a hero.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. So Elvis and Nixon. I'm a Michael Shannon completist. Also,
I don't even know what that is. No, you skip.
Elvis and Nixon. That's a movie.
It's not even on. That's on Amir's list.
I don't know if it's on Amir's list. I'm telling you my list of movies
I don't even think that was on Ob's 150 list. That's why I don't know it.
Elvis and Nixon was a movie about the meeting between Elvis and Nixon. Michael Shannon plays Elvis, I assume. And who plays
I need $5,000 to see this movie. Next.
Why?
Because who cares about Elvis? Elvis sucks. No offense, guys.
77% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty good.
Okay. It's all right. So watch
it. Kevin Spacey plays
Nixon. You know I'm anti-Spacey.
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't have said that. It doesn't help.
So, okay, what else? Give me some more movies.
Okay, what else is on my list of movies that I want to see this year?
Every conversation with you, it's like the first time you've ever had a conversation with a human being before. Okay. You're like learning the rules as it goes.
Central Intelligence, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, I like The Rock. But listen, if you're trying to come up with a list of 10 best movies of the year, you can skip Central Intelligence.
These are movies that I didn't see. Maybe I saw the 10.
Okay, so how about this? Skip for the purposes of like... You can wait on it. You can either go see it, wait on it, or pass altogether.
Right. Denial.
I mean, you'll probably like that. I have no interest in it, but you'll probably like that. Okay.
Well, I mean, for people who believe the Holocaust happened, it's a movie to confirm that. You know, for people who don't want to believe it, you know, you want to stick to your fake news. So,
yeah, really
all right, Masterminds.
No, pass.
Reviews weren't great, but the cast is really good.
Yeah, no, that's a double whammy.
Okay, all right, Birth of a Nation.
No.
My expectations aren't high, but I feel like it's a movie you need to see to be like culturally conversant.
Right. A lot of people did not want to see that movie specifically because of the director's actions. I know that probably is an incentive for you to see it, but let's keep going.
All right, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Oh, so I haven't seen it yet, but Av was very down on it.
Did you like the book? Or did you read the book?
No, I haven't, but I've heard amazing things about the book.
Good book. All right, Allied.
You probably
That's
like
not
it.
A top 10.
Obviously, not a top 10 movie.
Whatever. It's an entertaining 2 hours, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I think what I said to Amir is, I said, this seems like a safe bet for an entertaining 2 hours, followed by another entertaining hour. As I pick the plot apart on my way home, while Jen ignores me.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty
Sounds
fair.
Accurate, yeah.
The Founder, which is the Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, it's next on my list. How about I let you know tomorrow if that's good or not?
Okay. All right. That's Kevin Costner plays like the McDonald's guy.
Mm-hmm.
The
Michael Keaton, Seven. I think. But yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. Magnificent Seven.
No, I don't think so.
All right. The Ruins of Lyfta, which I'm sure you haven't heard of.
No, that's not. That's not even a movie. Keep going.
Yeah. That's it. Those are all the movies on my list.
Oh, okay. But you haven't seen anything yet.
I've seen some movies.
I mean, you haven't seen like the big. How many of the 9 movies that are nominated for Best Picture have you seen?
But I don't. I have no desire to see La La Land.
Okay, fine. But what about Manchester by the Sea?
I don't want to see it because I'm just going to be super depressed. Everybody tells me, and why do I want to sit for 2 hours?
No, I wasn't depressed. That depressed, but I have no feelings. Yeah. What about Moonlight?
I feel like I should see that one. Probably, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In Florida. All right, probably I should see that one. Fine.
They both Av and Amir love Kubo and the Two Strings, which is animated. Maybe watch that with your son, although I'm not sure he's old enough. It's like PG.
I took him to see Finding Dory. Aris, did you like Finding Dory?
That might be scary for like a little kid. I don't know.
Are we done with the Super Bowl?
I got more stuff.
All right, what more stuff do you have?
Why
don't you tell me? So I had the Falcons 20th on my rankings of most cursed franchises before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to move them up to like 15 after last night's game.
NFL or all 4 major sports?
All sports.
Well, let's just talk NFL. It's hard to cross compare off the top of my head.
Okay, so only NFL. I'll tell you who I have ahead.
Well, obviously, the Bills and the Vikings have to be ahead, right? You lost 4 Super Bowls, yeah. You make it ahead.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to put anybody else. You know, if you want to see the Browns, like that's fine. They lost their team.
What about the Eagles?
I would put the Eagles above them, and I'd probably put the Falcons fifth.
They've lost 2 Super Bowls. They lost 4 NFC championships, including 3 in a row.
I'd say Falcons 5 right now. I mean, they're 0-2 in the Super Bowl. They're getting there.
What about the Lions?
Yeah. I mean, the Lions have been so inept. It's really
an
underreported story.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lions are the only team to miss every Super Bowl, right? Because 4 teams have never been to the Super Bowl, but the Jaguars,
the
Texans, and Browns.
They've lost 2 Super Bowls. And the Bengals should have won. I mean, you know, the Bengals, the drive was very similar to what Brady did yesterday. You know, he started on his own 10-yard line with 2 minutes to go.
Right. The Bengals played, incredible 49ers teams close twice.
Yeah.
People,
this is also
a
team that has been very good for this decade, made the playoffs every year and finds a way to lose every year.
Has literally not won a playoff game. Yeah. You know what? I'm putting the Bengals up there, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
The Chiefs? What about the Chiefs? This is a team also. The Chiefs have been consistently competitive.
Yeah, the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl. Sorry. I mean, the Chiefs and the Jets are the same thing. They won Super Bowls back-to-back, and they haven't done anything since then. But they at least – I know it doesn't do anything – the same way it doesn't do anything for me as a Jets fan, it's bad for someone like me that the Jets have won, because it's like nobody talks about how the Jets – the Mets-Jets fans. I mean, if you're a Mets, Jets, Knicks, and Islanders fan who didn't see the Islanders win 4 in a row from 80 to 83, like I didn't.
Yeah. And you missed the Mets 86.
And I'm not a Knicks-Islanders fan. I'm a Spurs fan, so I have 5 rings like Tom Brady. Yeah. But I have 9 because I have 4 from UConn. I literally just need a 10th ring, and then I have all 10 of my fingers have ring.
Okay, so here's my argument for why the Chiefs should be ahead of the Falcons. Okay, the Falcons just lost, the worst Super Bowl loss you could possibly have. Granted.
Was this the worst loss in sports history?
Again, no, because the context of the franchise. If you take if you're going to say, is this the worst loss?
Soon you're
going
to be able to podcast with a robot, and like a literal robot, and it's going to be much better for me.
If you want to say,
name a worse loss than this.
I mean, I would say that the way that the Vikings lost in the NFC Championship
You know what? The Vikings would have won, but there's a very good chance the Vikings still lose the Super Bowl. It's a 50-50 Super Bowl. Okay?
Yeah, so you're saying it has to be a championship game to be considered?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Is this the worst loss?
I mean, we could talk about Red Sox-Yankees, but like that was a little more gradual. You know, Game 7 was a blowout in that series. Yeah.
Well, that's wrong with any other sport unless it's Game 7, right? Because you only have one game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really only college football championship, which isn't really a thing that existed for more than the last.
Right, you could have NBA Game 7.
Yeah, there's not a lot. This is the worst Super Bowl loss for sure.
So that's basically the worst loss ever.
Yeah, but that's only taking that one game.
Could you have gone to work today if you were a Falcons fan?
Again, I don't know because I don't really know any Falcons fans, so I don't really know.
If you were a Vikings fan and they lost the exact game that the
Vikings,
yes,
I would have jumped in the lake.
Would you have gone to work today after 28-3 Super Bowl?
There's no chance. I didn't go to work the day after the election. There's no chance I would have gone to work today. If the Vikings lost the game the Falcons lost last night, there's no chance. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. And also, like, I don't know if you face this at home also, but like, it's not like I'm getting any sympathy. Like, my wife actively roots against the Jets, you know, because then it means, like, if they don't make the playoffs, then it's four games that I don't have to watch, or even though I'd watch them, yeah. like, I don't have to care about. So it's not like I get sympathy. When Doug Bryan missed the kick and the Jets lost to the Steelers in the second round of the playoffs in 2004, like, my wife was cheering because it meant we could go out for dinner.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'd have to like lock my room. I wouldn't want to talk to the kids. And
yeah,
I don't know what I would do. I don't think there's ever coming back from this loss.
For the Falcons?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Close up shop? Close the franchise?
I mean, they're just not going to win the Super Bowl next year. And that's the only thing you could do to like redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Also,
well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, again, because I've seen this so many times, the Timberwolves, the way they lost the conference finals in 2004, or the Vikings losing all their conference championships. You are correct about the fact that the Falcons fans, the only thing that they're banking on right now is, you know what, we're going to come back next year, and let's just disabuse them of that notion now.
Right.
You're not.
You're going 7-9 probably.
You're probably
like,
not.
Ryan is probably tearing his ACL in July, and then Matt Schaub is your starting quarterback, and then what?
Yeah. So Falcons fans, this is as good as it's going to get.
Yes. The truth is the power of losing in sports is a much stronger feeling than a win. Like, you lose and you get to talk about it forever. Like, the Spurs have won 5 titles, and 1,000 times more than I think of any of those dumb championships, I think about, like, what ifs on the Game 6 against the Heat.
Yeah. Well, it's like bad beats.
The 6 months, I remember the 6 months after they lost the Heat series, there was never one day where I didn't think about it at least once. Until, like, at some point in, like, January of the next year, I remember thinking, like, oh, I haven't thought about, like, the Spurs losing in a few days.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Goodell also?
Yeah.
I
the unbelievably pussy move of him handing off the trophy and then running off.
I mean, it was funny that Terry Bradshaw didn't know James White's name. I mean, it just shows you like how bad these commentators are. Like, they don't follow. They don't put in the time at all. And by the way, John Lynch is a freaking GM of the Niners. He sucks as an announcer. Jay Glazer, who's his friend, is like posting on Twitter like, I know one thing. He'll outwork anybody. Really? Why didn't he outwork people to become a good announcer? Why was he a crappy announcer? Probably because he didn't work hard.
He was on like tier 4 on Fox, so I heard him a lot of times on Vikings.
Yeah,
games.
Either A, he's dumb, and he tried to be a good announcer, but he couldn't be. He tried really hard and he sucked, which is really scary for me. If I'm a Niners fan,
I think he just didn't try that hard because he didn't really care.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, because you could get by as this number 2 Fox announcer, you know, especially you're with a good play guy like Burkhart. He was the number 2 Fox guy, just because Fox sucks, by the way, not number 4. But
I think that he was focusing on networking because he's learned, and we just saw with Kurt Warner and with Terrell Davis, that if you're a former player who wants to be in the Hall of Fame and wants to be considered for coaching jobs and things like that in general, the most important thing is for other people to like you.
Totally.
So
yeah, look, every NFL network guy gets in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really talk about this, but the fact that T.O. did not make it, and the fact that Warner and
not even
Davis
close.
Did,
T.O.'s, I mean, Peter King's in the room and rooting for T.O., and he said it's probably going to be years. Because he didn't even make it from 15 to 10, and next year, 4 guys, Ray Lewis, I'm assuming they're going to put Ray Lewis in. There's a slight chance that there's just enough guys in the room that don't allow it, but I'm assuming he's going in. Ray Lewis, Urlacher's for sure going in. Rondi Barber is probably going in. And who's the fourth one? Randy Moss has to go in. So there's a fifth spot, and then you have Lynch. The problem is they should let 6 or 7 guys in, because like Lynch is a Hall of Famer, Dawkins is a Hall of Famer, Mwai I think is a Hall of Famer. It's not like they're putting in jokers, but like they put Morton Anderson ahead of Terrell Owens. What would have happened if like the Falcons or the Saints, whichever team Morton Anderson was on at the time, called up the Eagles like, hey, we'll give you Morton Anderson straight up for Terrell Owens. Like,
well,
I think they would have called the league and complained and tried to get them fined just for wasting
Morton
time.
Morton Anderson should be in the Hall of Fame. As I said, he's the greatest kicker of all time. But that doesn't mean that T.O. should not also be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but why is he getting in ahead of T.O.?
T.O. and Randy Moss played at the exact same time. Their careers overlapped all but 2 seasons. T.O. played 219 games. Moss played 218. So they really played the exact same number of games. T.O. has more receptions. T.O. has more yards. They have the exact same number of touchdowns.
I mean, there was never a person on earth that said T.O. was better than Moss.
Look, I'm a Moss fan. I'm a Vikings fan. But I'm just saying they're pretty much neck and neck. And
no, they should both be in the Hall of Fame. They're not just Hall of Famers. They're like a level above Hall of Fame. You know, they're like the excellent Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only receivers in the conversation. You know, Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver of all time, obviously. And then after that, there's about 4 or 5 guys in the conversation for number 2. And T.O. and Randy Moss are in that list. So it's insane that. By the way, our mutual friend Ari Gold was trying to bash Jeff Garcia. He said, you know, it's crazy that T.O.'s not in the Hall of Fame considering how great he is, and look what kind of quarterback he had. His quarterback was Jeff Garcia. So I fact-checked him, and then I spent all Saturday night making a chart, and then I tweeted it out, and then Jeff Garcia actually
Keep in mind, this guy's on vacation in Florida. Okay, you spent all Saturday night making a chart, yeah.
I made a chart of – so first of all, Jeff Garcia was the best quarterback in the NFL in both 2000 and in 2001.
Wow.
But I wanted to look –
By the way, that says less about the NFL, more about the NFL and less about Jeff Garcia.
Okay, but Jeff Garcia never took a snap in the NFL until 1999, the season when Steve Young went down in the first game of the year, when he was 29 years old. So Jeff Garcia, the same way that Steve Young was stuck behind Joe Montana, Jeff Garcia was stuck behind Steve Young. He doesn't take a snap until he's 29 years old. From his first season when he's 29, for the next 5 years, from 1999 to 2003, statistically, he's neck and neck with Peyton Manning for being the best quarterback in the NFL. And it makes you think if this is a guy who had started when he was 22 instead of 29, he'd probably be in the Hall of Fame conversation.
Mm. And I would say, you know, if he was a little cooler to T.O., if he got along better with T.O., T.O. would be in the Hall of Fame today. Because really, the worst thing T.O. ever did was probably slander Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, and then after that, he tried to go over the top by, quote-unquote, defending his quarterbacks in other places, but nobody really believed him when he cried about Tony Romo or, you know, the whole thing with McNabb in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, T.O. not being in the Hall of Fame is a joke, obviously. And it says nothing about T.O., and it says a lot about the flawed system by which they choose the NFL, the Football Hall of Fame.
I hear you. All right. But anyway, Goodell should quit, because if you're getting the Bettman reception of the Super Bowl, I'm not sure why you're still allowed to be the commissioner.
Because you're taking home $50 million and because your boss are having...
He shouldn't quit. He should get fired. By the way, I had Garcia a few years ago as the 59th best QB ever.
We had a...
By the way, here a quick list. My six best QBs ever who were undrafted. Jake Delhomme, Jim Hart, Bobby Hebert, Dave Craig, Warren Moon. That's amazing that Warren Moon's undrafted. And Jeff Garcia.
Kurt Warner wasn't drafted.
This was...
Your list is old. Your list from 2009.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, but Warner should have been on there. That's actually a mistake.
Yeah. I had Jeff Garcia at number 48, by the way. So, yeah, a little bit higher on him than you are. But again, he only played half a career. If you double his career, his numbers are a lot more impressive. I forget what we were talking about now.
Firing Goodell.
Yeah. Oh, so this is why they don't fire Goodell. So we were making our list, our prospective list of people to be on the worst living Americans bracket. So we're going to have four regions. Sports, politics, Hollywood / pop culture, and miscellaneous.
I thought we just said we're not doing this.
Oh, well, but we were, whatever, if we do it. And our sports bracket is overflowing with names. And part of the problem is you could put almost every NFL owner on the list, if you really think about it, right?
Mm.
And you know why you don't? Because you put Roger Goodell on the list, and he takes the shit for everybody. Jimmy Haslam, right? Even the Double J's, who just went into the Hall of Fame himself, Jerry Jones this week. I mean, a lot of these guys are really, like, bad people in so many ways.
I mean, you can't become a billionaire by being nice to people, right? You gotta have a few, you know, bodies in your closet.
For the most part, that's true. But Roger Goodell takes the heat for all of them. He takes the booze so that they don't.
This isn't the WWE. Like, it shouldn't be like he's the heel and he's soaking up the booze so everyone else can get, you know, the baby face heat. Like, it's insane.
But it is.
I've got a pitch for you.
Like to be beloved. Yeah, let's hear it.
You fire Goodell, you hire Obama.
As commissioner,
Obama would for sure do it. Nobody's turning down this job. It's $50 million a year. The problem is, do you lose middle America with Obama? Do you have to wait a few more years?
There is a 0% chance that Barack Obama takes this job.
There's a 100% chance he takes this job.
No! Why would Barack Obama want to be the commissioner?
I think he would need a year. He definitely need a year off. That's for sure.
Why would he possibly want to do this?
Are you turning down a $50 million a year job?
Yes, because first of all, if Obama wants to get money, he can give speeches, he can do whatever he wants, he can make money. He's not worried about that, okay? This would be why would he possibly want to do this? The owners would love it, by the way, because he would continue to deflect attention and all the negative attention against the NFL would disappear. I mean, there are people who don't like Obama, but none of those people are going to hate the NFL because of Obama, right? I think even those people would appreciate that he came on as like the PR guy. Condoleezza Rice, by the way, is somebody who used to jokingly talk about how she wanted to be the commissioner of the NFL.
Yeah,
that is a much more realistic and believable alternative than Roger Goodell. Instead, she's on like the college football.
Well, I think that's probably her like campaigning to be the next commissioner, being on that committee.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's somebody who's somewhat believable. Like Barack Obama would tarnish his legacy. All the people like Obama would hate him if he did that. You know, like now you're going to just be a shill for these 32 billionaires. That's what you're going to do, really? Like,
no, because if he comes in on a white horse and says, I'm cleaning up concussions, makes very strict concussion rules right away.
There's a lot more important things that we need him to come in on a white horse.
It is literally the most important thing in this country. We could literally podcast about anything. We podcast about the NFL because that's all that matters. The rest of the stuff is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, Barack Obama will not be the next commissioner of the NFL. Right. I will put that one down in stone.
I mean, you'd have to give me odds.
I mean, I don't think Goodell's going anywhere anytime soon. So
it is crazy. Like, it's insane how bad it's gotten. Like, Paul Tagliabue would just look like you could get him on a radio show. Like, if you're like Mike and the Mad Dog back then, like, you could get Tagliabue on, you know, for an hour at 5 o'clock if you wanted. Mike was saying this week. Like, you can't, no, Goodell's not going on any station in the country. He literally can't do interviews. Like, Goodell's in Putin territory.
Well, I was going to say Trump, because Trump is also not doing any interviews except with his, you know.
What are you, little... Trump does interviews every day. They're like, they're,
he's banned CNN. What are you talking? He's banned all CNN. No Trump spokesman or anybody involved with the administration has gone on CNN.
Trump just spoke to the New York Times last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's not speaking to CNN. I mean, the difference, I guess, between Trump and Goodell is that Trump makes these little enemies lists. And, yeah, Goodell doesn't really have any enemies. He just bans everybody. So that's true. There's a little bit of a difference there.
You think they'd get along or they'd hate each other, Trump and Goodell?
Did you see Ken Tremendous, his little, Mike Scherer's little, his little blog that he has, his little Tumblr?
I've seen it. I don't know what you're talking about.
So he wrote a letter to Tom Brady, and he wrote it sort of to make it sound like an 8-year-old writing to Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
And so he actually talked to me. He said, you know, you shouldn't be friends with Donald Trump. That's the one thing you do that's bad. You know who also is bad is Roger Goodell. You should let Roger Goodell be friends with Donald Trump instead.
Yeah, you had to be there. Okay. Is there anything else?
No, there's really not.
I'm going to miss the NFL so much.
Wait, so where do we rank the Super Bowl in the last 20 years?
Yeah, you go first.
Well, to me, there's nothing more incredible than a crazy comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like you who says, but that means it was a blowout for a lot of part of the game. That makes the end all the more incredible, all the more unbelievable. So to me, it surpasses the San Francisco-Baltimore game because of the fact that the comeback was actually
completed. You mean a game that was literally atrocious? Okay, it surpasses that.
No, that game would have been the greatest comeback. That game was also, what was that, a 23-point comeback? 28-6. So mm-hmm. It would have been a 22-point comeback. If Kaepernick completes that last pass, then that is the greatest comeback in NFL history. And then that game passes. So the thing is, it passes that one because it's like that one, but 1% better. And then the next question is, can it pass the New England-Seattle game? And I think the reason it can't is because, again, we saw Seattle was the defending Super Bowl champions. Seattle was a team of real substance. The Falcons, again, are a team that were sort of like happy to be there, even though they could have and should have won. The Falcons do not seem at any point like this is like just a historic franchise on a great run. So it was sort of the Patriots against sort of a nondescript group is the reason that I will say that it falls just behind the 28-24 Patriots-Seahawks game. So number two, best Super Bowl in the last 20.
To me, so people were saying, is this because you said that blowouts are boring? But it wasn't boring to me because the Patriots getting killed is the best possible thing that could happen. So I was enthralled, and I wanted them to lose 56-3. So yeah. I wasn't bored. So for me, it wasn't like when the Patriots are beating the Panthers 13-0.
Because the team that was getting blown out is the team you hate the most.
Right. So it's very hard for me to like, because to me this is the worst Super Bowl ever because it is literally the worst outcome of any of the 51 Super Bowls that if I could change one Super Bowl outcome. Since the Jets have never lost the Super Bowl, I would definitely change this one.
So actually, it's a good point. You talked earlier about how it doesn't really help you for your team to win before you're around. So if I could change one Super Bowl outcome, would I give the Vikings a Super Bowl win in the 70s that has
no
really?
No, I don't think so. I think you got it. You got to get it on your own.
Yeah, because I get pleasure from complaining about the Vikings being 0-4
sure,
in the Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah. Losing is better than winning. But the Mets winning in 86 kind of screws over people our age. Because we were I can't even say I've never been alive for a Mets World Series win. Yeah. I have. I was just three and I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah. If it happens 2 years later, totally different situation. You'll have at least some fleeting
memory. Yeah, 88, I remember the TV being on in 88.
Yeah. By the way, so where I was watching the Super Bowl, I was at a party. We were watching indoors. We had two Patriots fans there.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else.
Were you at Steen's house?
No, a friend of Steen's.
Okay.
Everybody else was rooting against the Patriots, obviously, because, they're all good Americans.
Wait, were you rooting for the Patriots?
No, everybody but the two Patriots
fans. Okay, fine.
And you know, we were running jokes like, oh, has there ever been a shutout in the Super Bowl? You know, that's when it was, you know, 21-0. And it was a thoroughly enjoyable
What was the food situation?
Excellent food. Great barbecue.
What was it?
They had everything you want. They had, you know, they had burgers, they had wings, they had various kinds of sausages.
Okay.
They had, like, pastrami. They had a good selection. Mm-hmm. So they had an outdoor TV, because we're in Florida, South Florida, and an indoor TV. And slowly but surely, we all went outside, and pretty soon the only two people inside were the two Patriots fans. And everybody else was outside. And then the two Patriots fans bailed at halftime because, you know, they were getting blown out. And then the wife of the host started watching Gilmore Girls on the TV inside. So during the Super Bowl, the wife was watching Gilmore Girls on their huge flat screen outside.
Like,
and then
just a random Gilmore Girls episode, or like the New Day's Gilmore Girls? Like,
I don't know. I just heard that she was watching Gilmore Girls. I don't know. And then there was
15 that would be great if you like just went in and it was like, I don't like Super Bowl, so I'm going to watch Gilmore
and
Girls.
And there were 15 of us huddled around like a pretty small TV outside watching the game.
Wait, so you guys couldn't go back in, or you weren't interested in going back in?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go back in until the wife who lives in this house, sorry, we got to watch the Super Bowl. Like, everybody.
But you wouldn't
outside.
Tell the host, like, hey, you know, I really want to watch inside.
Well, yeah. We were all just sort of enjoying it. You didn't have to pay that much attention because it was just a blowout, right? It was just
yeah, but
you
when the game got
experience.
Close, you stayed on the small TV?
Yeah, we stayed. We were committed the whole time. We stayed on that TV. Yeah, I mean, like, at the very, like, when it got very close, like, when the Patriots were driving to tie it and then in overtime, like, I was standing and I was sort of, you know, rocking back and
yeah,
forth.
I started standing with a few minutes to go also, and people were like, what do you know? You have money on the game? Like, no, I just care.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the thing. Also, like, even though the Patriots had a 1% chance, we all knew what was going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
As soon as, when it was 28-12, and as soon as they got the ball back, it became very clear, this game is 100% going to overtime. And the Patriots are 100% going to win this game. There was no doubt.
Yeah, no argument here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, and not even, like, because of silly things like, because you're going to say momentum, or because of curses, or because, you know, God hates us. I think just practically speaking, when a defense is on the field for 90 plays, they get tired eventually. And the Falcons were not a good defense. They surprisingly looked like a good defense in the first half. They had a pass rush, which nobody expected. The over-under on total sacks in this game for both teams combined was 4. We got 4 sacks in the first quarter, basically, right?
Yeah.
So nobody expected. The surprise of this game was not the comeback. The surprise of this game was the Falcons defense shutting down the Patriots offense for the first 2.5 quarters.
Falcons defense was great. Patriots defense was really mediocre. Falcons running game was sensational.
Not when it mattered.
Well, I mean, they went away from the run. They still ran for like 6 yards a clip.
Which catch do you like more, the Edelman catch or the Julio Jones catch?
I mean, the Julio Jones catch is amazing, but the Edelman catch. So, I actually made this distinction to you a couple weeks ago when we were ranking the Super Bowls. Yeah. If you saw the Edelman play in the preseason, you'd watch it like 5 more times, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let alone at a key moment in the Super Bowl. Similar to Tyree. Like, that Tyree play would be cool if it happened in the regular season.
Yeah, but the Tyree play was even more luck than the Edelman.
Of course. Yeah, no, this is maybe more visual. Like, the Edelman. How about this? The Edelman play I had my wife watch this morning. Whereas I would never ask her to watch the Julio Jones play because she would not appreciate it.
But that's because she's not a football fan. But if you're a football fan, the Julio Jones play
of
is
course.
Just about the most perfect play.
Amazing. Not only was it perfect, but like he was so easily in. He could have got like a third foot in. It was so incredible.
The pass, there was the only one place the pass could possibly go, and he got it exactly there. And then the catch, obviously, you know, Chris Carter is always like, he's considered like his strength was his keeping his feet in bounds on those sideline plays. That's what he's considered the greatest ever at. But this one, you need Julio's physique, because this ball wasn't just like, you know, at his like numbers level. This was also like 3 feet above his head. I mean, I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. could do that. I don't think anybody could do that. So in terms of like pure wide receiver skill, I think that was like, you cannot have a better catch than that. You can match it, but that you cannot have a better catch than that, in my opinion.
All right. One more question.
Yeah.
What's your take on All in the Family?
I heard you're getting some hate on that show.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know why people are like, you know.
You've only seen the one episode.
Yeah, I saw one episode. It wasn't good.
Okay. Full confession. Have I seen the show? No.
Oh, then who cares? I don't want your opinion on what.
But I've seen lots of discussions about it, and I've seen clips of it. And I understand the important cultural value. Like, Archie Bunker was representing one generation and one side politically in, like, in the Nixon years or whatever. And then Rob Reiner's character, whose name I don't remember, Meathead or whatever the hell it was representing another. Like, I understand the value, and I can appreciate the value, even if I personally, you know, might not enjoy it. So I think it's an important show. Is it a good show? I don't know. I never watched it. But it's definitely an important show.
All right.
Unsatisfying answer?
I mean, like everything you said tonight was an unsatisfying answer. It was a fitting moment. I'll miss you NFL. I will miss you so much.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time till next season. Do you want to put out – I mean, we talked about the futures bets for right now. Completely meaningless, obviously, but if you had to predict a Super Bowl for next year.
Okay,
right now,
let's do that. Did we do this on last year's Super Bowl podcast? Probably not because we're stupid.
We definitely do not say the Falcons.
It's a good question. No, obviously not. Do you want to go first?
Well, I just think the problem in the AFC – well, I'm going to go a little bit aspirational here. Well, you're making fun of me. I was the one who aspirationally predicted that Peyton Manning would win a Super Bowl in his final season. I didn't think he'd be the worst quarterback in the league when he did it. So I'm going to say that Tony Romo is going to go to the Broncos. The Broncos, who are currently 16-1, are going to jump up to about 8-1.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that the Broncos represent the AFC.
Yeah, but then what happens when he gets hurt in week three? I'm going Oakland-Seattle.
Okay, so you're going Oakland-Seattle. I was going to say Denver-Seattle. So we're both on Seattle. I'm going to say Denver-Seattle again, and I'm going to say that Tony Romo will win the Super Bowl next year.
Okay. No chance of that happening, but it'll be cool. In this
madness, no chance of any of this happening. Spinning round. All right, Hugo. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. I want you to live forever underneath the sky so blue. Some people say faith is a childish game. Play on children like it's Christmas Day.